Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to be with all of you here today. Whatever brings you here, whether it's custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. I'm Katie Flynn, for all of you who don't know me, but I'm looking out at you, and pretty much all of you know me. Joining me up front this morning is my mom, Joyce Flynn. She'll be your liturgist. And I'm very privileged to introduce Stephen Bacon as our fill-in pastor this morning. So it's going to be a great service. If you've got your bulletin, you'll see a few different things in there. I'd like to point out the yellow slip in there. It's for attendance, so we know who you are and we can greet you. And then on the back side is a prayer request. So if you want to share a prayer with the congregation, you can fill that out and give it to the ushers when we call them forward later on in the service. And we'll read all those prayer requests out loud. If you're new to us this morning, you can grab one of our brochures in the back of the church, and it just tells you a little bit about who we are and what we have to offer. I mentioned the bulletin. That's actually a brief order of worship, but if you look in the back side, the back bottom side, you'll see a QR code, so if you want a more complete order of worship, you can scan that with your smartphone, and you'll know everything that we're going to say ahead of time. If you're looking for childcare or a restroom, you can find both out this door, or you can ask some of the ushers in the back, and they'll be glad to direct you. After worship, you can join us in the gathering room for some coffee and conversation, so we encourage you all to do that. And a reminder that our sanctuary is a safe sanctuary, so children should always be accompanied by an adult. I don't see any with us yet, but oh, I see a couple of you guys over there. If you're looking at your bulletin, there's a few things that I wanted to announce. First of all, today there's the Sacred Sites Tour, so people will be coming in to look at our stained glass windows and check out our church from about noon to 3, and we're privileged to have Dennis giving an organ concert at 12:30. So if you want to stay for that, you're welcome to do that. Also, after the service, if anyone's interested in taking a selfie with our backdrop, please do so. We've got props up here to spice up your picture. So we'll see some of you after the service for that. And now let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning once again. I'm Steve Bacon. I'm a member here at the church. Pastor Alicia, you may have heard, is at a meeting in Minneapolis in discussion with where our denomination is heading. And I'm certainly happy also to be joined with the Flynns too this morning. The season of Eastertide leads us from Easter to the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus was gone. How did Jesus' followers decide what to do next? How do we decide what to do next? We are looking for answers in the Gospel of John and from the Acts of the Apostles and, as you can see from all this up here, from Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. In today's scripture, Jesus gives us one simple task, love one another. Please join me in singing Christ Be Our Light, the song that we are using in Eastertide to focus our decisions and direction.
Jesus doesn't just tell us to love each other. Jesus first demonstrates what that looks like by loving us. Please remain standing in body or in spirit and join me in our responsive call to worship. How deeply you have loved us, Jesus. How willingly you stepped into our experience. How completely you empathized with all that we endure. How sacrificially you have loved us, Jesus. How completely you gave yourself for us. How courageously you suffered for our sakes. How restoratively you have loved us, Jesus. How generously you share your life. How extravagantly you make yourself available to us. We praise you for your love, which is given so freely and so unconditionally. And we thank you for believing that we could learn to offer such love to each other. Amen. Jesus' death and resurrection was the ultimate expression of his love. Remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 318, Christ is Alive. Now, before you settle back into your seats, take time to connect with the people around you, saying, may the peace of the risen Christ be with you. And share a handshake, a hug, or a high five as appropriate. When you hear the music, it's time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward.
So, do you remember we've been talking about that book, All the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss? And we showed a little bit of it last week. We're going to show a little bit more of it this week, and then we're going to talk about it for a second, if we could do that.
You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? Or right and three quarters? Or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind-maker-upper to make up his mind.
Wow, have you ever gotten lost trying to go somewhere? You're supposed to go left, but you went right. You're supposed to go right, went left. Got kind of confused, backed around. Ever happened? Ever happened to you? No? Wow, I'm going to stay with you now from now on, because I get lost all the time. My favorite story was when I was younger, I went with some friends down to Washington, D.C., and we went inside of a building, and my cousin and I came out the other side of the building because we didn't know the right side to come out, and we were there for 45 minutes before they found us because we're on the wrong side of the building. But it's okay. It's okay to sometimes go left and sometimes go right, and it's okay to make mistakes. And why do you think that is? What's it? It's not important which way you go. What can happen if you get lost? Will somebody come find you? Yeah, somebody came and found me and came and found my cousin. God is always with you, and you can never really truly get lost. If you follow God's path, you can turn left, you can turn right, you can turn all the way around, and God is always with you. So we want to make sure to do that. So can we pray for a quick second about that? God, bless us this morning. We've come together and we've sometimes gotten confused on which way to go. But we know your path. It doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be left. We can go backwards. We can go forwards. We can go whatever direction as long as you're guiding us. Help us follow your path. In your name we pray this. Amen. Thanks for coming.
In today's passage from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is giving his followers last-minute instructions before his arrest. It is about how they are to live in community with each other. In fact, he says that people will know that they are his followers because of how they live with each other. I'm reading verses 31 through 35 in the Common English Bible translation. Jesus said, "Now the human one has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify the human one in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I will also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you must also love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Imagine for a moment, you're a disciple of Jesus. This is the end that he's been telling you about. And he comes and says to you one final thing, his final commandment. Little children, love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples. Love each other. So what comes to mind when you hear the word love? Perhaps a song. L is for the way you look at me. Or perhaps you have all you need is love. Ba-ba-ba-da-da. Perhaps you have a poem that comes to mind. Elizabeth Browning's How Do I Love Thee? Let me count the ways. During Jesus' time, the Greeks thought of love as four types or four ways. You had eros, which was considered the typical romantic love. Storge, which is the familiar, it's like parent to a child, spouse to a spouse. Philia, or filio, which is the brotherly, the friendship love that you had for one another. And certainly the divine love of agape. Each faith tradition has their own meaning of love. We know from Buddhism that they believe in loving as kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity, understanding others' suffering. In Hinduism, it's considered a magic love, a divine purpose of devotional. In Islam, we love Allah above all things and God highest. In Judaism, the Torah gives us love thy neighbor as thyself, love all, give charity, be kind. And in Christianity, we know we love God with all of our heart, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. So why did Jesus address the disciples as little children? Well, he knew what issues would face them after he was gone. Panic, doubt, confusion, disbelief. Jesus was setting the tone for his final commandment. He also knew that his message needed to be simple and straightforward. During the week, I'm a school teacher. I currently am teaching fifth graders in a middle school in Cicero, New York. And often I'll remind my students that their actions in fifth grade are not very different than the early age students that I've worked with, such as kindergartners or first graders. Not attempting to be condescending, but simply reminding them that when they get excited, they get worried, they get frustrated, and they get disappointed. My favorite comparison is when the students share an important event in their lives, many other students also want to share, usually prompted by that first comment. Kindergartners are excited to tell about their pets. By the way, they love in great detail. And once one student shares, several other students' hands shoot up also wanting to share. And my fifth graders do much the same. The message of love one another as I have loved you is easy to remember, both for the young and for the old. And just like my kindergartens who seem to have unlimited energy, God's love is unlimited. God doesn't say, you know what, I loved you yesterday, that should be enough. Or you don't really don't need any today, maybe I'll give you some tomorrow. God's love never, ever runs out. In addition to being unlimited, God's love is unconditional. The love is given all freely. Growing up, I tended to place conditions or qualifiers in situations. My favorite expression of concern was, well, what if? Well, what if I forget my lunch? And what if we run out of gas on the way to school? And what if I don't wake up in time? And so on and so on. And as life would have it, my first grade students several years ago provided me with what their what-if scenario was. Remember the kindergarten pet story? Well, first graders like pets also. They wanted a pet for our classroom. So I contacted the district science department and ordered a fish. Students anxiously and eagerly awaited its arrival. And finally, when it came, one student started shaking his head no. When I asked what was wrong, he responded, I can't have fish. Well, what do you mean? Well, they make my tongue swell. I said, honey, we're not going to eat the fish. It's a pet. So a student raises his hand and goes, well, Mr. Bacon, what happens if he accidentally eats it? How do you accidentally eat a fish? Well, it could jump out of the tank during snack time, land on his plate, and he could eat it. Understanding the concern, I then, at every snack time, stood by the tank, watched the fish until snack time was over to make sure that nobody accidentally ate it. See, there's no condition to God's love. It's us who place restrictions on it. It's not that it's only unlimited and unconditional, but it's also everlasting. A student recently shared with me a question and a concern. The student happens to be of one skin color, was adopted by parents of another skin color. The student was struggling with both identity and abandonment concerns. Well, why didn't my mom love me? I said, honey, your parents love you deeply. No, I mean my first mom. I told them, I don't know why your mom didn't, but I do know that your parents now love you. We spend so much time talking about things that aren't love. We should be focusing on things that are love. If we are truly loved, then why is there suffering? Why is there sickness? Why is there famine? Why is there war? Why is there disappointment? In John 3:16, we know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus spread the word of God and suffered. He gave his life so the world might have everlasting life. Peter said that he'd lay down his life but then denied knowing Jesus. We are all in the spot right now of having an earthly life that we're giving up for others. So, is love a noun or is it a verb? From the Revised Common Lectionary, if you sit on the word, Gary Jones writes about The Spiral Staircase, which is an autobiographical work by Karen Armstrong. She notes in her writing that most religious traditions, faith is not about belief, but about practice. Religion is not having to believe or accept certain difficult propositions. Instead, religion is about doing things that change you. This came to her especially when she wrote her first book on Islam. Muslims, she came to understand, are not expected to accept a complex creed. Instead, they're required to perform certain ritual actions, such as the pilgrimage and the fast of Ramadan, which they're doing right now. And actually, a number of us from the church last night had the wonderful opportunity to attend the Ramadan dinner in the evening, which they do at the end of the fasting day, and we did that at Manly Field House, and it was tremendous. Muslims are to prostrate themselves in prayer facing Mecca several times a day as an act of surrender. Muslims are commanded to give alms to the poor and more vulnerable among them as a way of cultivating the kind and generous spirit that makes them want to give graciously, graciously as God does. Armstrong says that these repeated actions are intended to lead to personal transformation. The point is that this is not a belief system, but a process. The religious life made people act in ways that were supposed to change them forever. So as disciples, how do we love? Are we unlimited, unconditional, everlasting? We know through kindness, compassion, forgiveness, sacrifice, patience, service, empathy, transcending boundaries, willing to change, doing what Jesus commanded us with feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. We should love as a small child does, or as we say sometimes a mother loves or a parent loves. But each of us needs to define the love based on a relationship with God. We pray and listen for God's word for us. We need to allow God's love to work through us, transform us, strengthen us. Remember these words from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. May we find God's love alive in us always. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. And now we have some words of reflection. Love each other. How complicated is that? Listen to these words for reflection titled Love So Easy and So Hard by John Vandeleer. Can it be that easy, Jesus? Can it be that hard? That what you want for us is just to love and be loved? Is it possible that even those who have tried the hardest, signed on the dotted line, sat for years in classes and strained their eyes from reading, dressed in all the most appropriate garments, and spoken with only the most measured words, that these can miss you? How can it be when those who have hardly tried at all, who have damaged themselves and others so much, that in the end they have nowhere else to turn but to throw themselves on your grace, that these are the ones you search out? How do we make sense of this, Jesus? How do we love so scandalously, so inclusively? How do we allow ourselves to be loved enough that all our hard and sharp edges grow soft and round? Help us to find the humility and courage, the boldness and grace, that in our loving and being loved, we may somehow ignite our world with a compassion so fierce that violence and abuse, rejection and condemnation, neglect and greed become unthinkable. Amen. Love is both easy and hard. Maybe it's a trite saying, but what would Jesus do? Channeling Jesus' example of love, reflecting his love for us, is our best option. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you.
Please be seated. Now continue to imagine yourself as a channel for Christ's peace as we enter a time of prayer. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your prayer slip that looks like this to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time asking God to walk with us. And now let us be together in prayer, as we first have a time of silence that I will, and then I will offer a spoken prayer, following which we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Take a deep breath now, get comfortable in your seat, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. God of creation, as we come together in prayer, we give thanks for this beautiful earth which you made for all of your creation. We hear your call to care for your earth with love and a deep sense of reverence for its beauty and life-sustaining resources, and acknowledge that we don't always do our best to protect your earth. Please forgive us and help us to be more thoughtful and careful of your wonderful creation by not being careless, wasteful, and disrespectful in our treatment of your world. God of love, we give thanks for the love you have given us so abundantly and so unconditionally, and we are humbled by the magnitude of that love. We hear your call to love one another as you love us, and we know that we often fall far short of that commandment. Loving others who look like us, think like us, sound like us, and act like us is easy. But you require us to also love people who are different than us, and that is where we often fail. Please forgive us and help us to reach out to others as we see as being on the other side, so we can find common ground, develop mutual understanding and respect, and work toward the love for them that you show to us. By doing that, we are living by your commandment and hopefully furthering peace and social justice in your world. And now please join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our church's vision is to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit, and that is what we are all about. All are truly welcomed here. Our family has been gathering at this place for 150 years, and you are now a part of this living tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way that we keep the family healthy. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips in the offering plate as the ushers collect the offering and the choir sings the offertory anthem, Shat Sholoza, by Jeffrey Ames. Thank you. God is indeed the source of all our gifts, even life itself. Please remain standing and join me in our prayer of dedication. O Holy One, we come today to claim our relationship with you. We pray for the commitment to grow together, sharing the gifts that you give us with others here and in the wider world. Give us strength and discipline to nurture our relationship with you, to care for every part of your creation, to foster justice and be in solidarity with those in need, to work to end all war and violence and discord, and to respond joyfully when you call, freely giving ourselves as you have shown the way. We open our hearts to you and your creation in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Now please remain standing and with open hearts, join me in singing, We Are Called.
And now may the peace of God, which exceeds all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the risen Christ, and the ever-present Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.